redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
As you're able to, please stand as we sing our first hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, number 577, if you're following along in the hymnal. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you're following along in the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said before, this is All Saints Sunday. It's the day that we remember those who have passed on. We have three that are officially related to our church: Miss Eileree Wilson, Mr. Thomas Walter Fisher, and Mr. Donald Wayne Gullett. And we would like to take time now to have a moment of silence, as well as play a chime for each of them. So let us take a moment of silence. Not this time. We'd like to bring our prayers as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Does anyone have any requests or praises they would like to share with us?
I want everybody to remember my sister-in-law, Dana Hill. She had surgery and she went home and was doing fine. And then I got a text from her daughter-in-law was saying that something has happened and she's had a bad setback and she's back in the hospital. I don't know what it is yet, but please keep that family with
us. Yes, ma'am, we will. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we'll remember Dave as well. Yes, ma'am.
Keep the Jones family in his prayers. It's been on October, but he hasn't ate any food in like 6 weeks.
Okay. Okay. We will remember them in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share?
I have a good friend, Jamie, who lost her late aunt suddenly. Friday. I mean, her aunt was in perfect health, and I don't even think 50 years old, and it was just very unexpected, and it was the last person that Jamie had on her mom's side of the family, and the whole family was just having some trouble right now getting through this, so if you would take them in your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, we will. Does anyone else have any requests? Terry, or Teresa, as she doesn't like to be called, told me that she went and saw Mary Ann. She saw her yesterday. She said she looks a little bit better, and she's trying to get her protein up. And so just keep her in your prayers, if you will. Her daughter had come to visit and is leaving today to go back to Texas. So keep her in your prayers for safe travels as well. If there are no other requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, today we remember those who have passed on to be with you in glory. People who were important, people who many have cherished memories of, people who were mentors, who were friends. Lord, as we mourn their loss, we pray that we would remember their legacy. Lord, we pray today for all of those who are mentioned today. We pray, Lord, for comfort and for healing and for strength. We pray that for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are living with the looming threat of death with hospice care, we pray for those who are trying to heal, trying to overcome, trying to recover. We pray that you would be with all of them. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we pray that we would be reminded, as always, that worship is about you and not about us. And we pray that as we worship, not only would you be pleased with our worship, but that we would hear your voice, that we would respond in a positive way. Help us, Lord, in all things to follow Christ. For it is in his name that we pray, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have our children come forward at this time, we will have our children's time. Thank you. Good morning, Liam. How you doing this morning? I was going to tell you a story. It's a sort of famous story about a guy named Zacchaeus. And the story usually goes that Jesus had a big crowd around him, and Zacchaeus was a little guy and he couldn't see, and so he had to climb up a tree so he could get a better job, or a better view of Jesus. And then Jesus saw him and he told him to come down. He was going to go eat with him. But actually, it may be that Jesus was so short that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, and so he had to climb up. And I think it's nice to think that Jesus might have been the short one, primarily because a lot of times we think of Jesus as being big and strong and tall and all this kind of stuff. But if Jesus was the little one, I think that comforts people a lot more. And I think it helps us understand why he loved children so much. Children, a lot of times, are pushed to the side, you know, and people kind of ignore children. They act like they don't have anything important to say. Sometimes they get annoyed and irritated with children. But Jesus loved children, and he always wanted children to be around him. And I always like to think that Jesus is the short one, because Jesus understands what it's like to have people think you're small and insignificant. But Jesus thinks that all children and all people are wonderful and significant, and he loves us all. So I think our lesson today is to remember that Jesus might be little like some of us are, and that it's okay, because that's the way that God made us. So I just wanted to tell you those words to encourage you. So you want to say a prayer? All right, fine with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for children, for the children here, for the children represented by those who are here. We pray that you would bless all children everywhere, and that you would help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can head on back with your papa. If we could have our ushers come forward. At this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing for our reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. Matthew writes, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. This fine-looking hook-nosed fellow here with the strange sword is Simon the Zealot. He's the second Simon, but he doesn't get his name changed by Jesus. Remember, Simon Peter got a name change. Simon the Zealot gets to be the Zealot. What is a zealot? We still use the word zealot today. It's not a common word, but we do use it. A zealot is somebody who is extremely devoted to something. You can have zealots in sports teams. I was talking to Chevron. Some of you may have seen it before. There's a guy, if you're coming into Kingston, across the bridge on the right, whenever it's time for Tennessee football, he has a big T mowed into his yard, and he has this white and orange checkered tarp that goes over the top of his dock. He's probably pretty zealous about Tennessee football, because I don't know why else you would take the time and effort to cut a big T into your grass, right? Simon wasn't that kind of zealot, though. Simon was an extremist. Simon was a terrorist. The Romans didn't like the zealots because the zealots were literally the Al-Qaeda of their day. They used terrorism to foster political unrest. See, the zealots believed that the Messiah was coming to establish the throne of David again in Jerusalem, and that he was going to free them from their captors, and that he would destroy all the enemies of Israel. The zealots would assassinate people. They would assassinate people in broad daylight. And it wasn't just Romans. If they saw you talking to a Roman centurion and y'all seemed to like each other, they might assassinate you. If you had a Greek name, it's possible you could get assassinated because you were a Hellenized Jew, as they say. You had a Hellenistic background, a Greek background. If you were a Samaritan, they'd probably assassinate you. They didn't like Samaritans. Samaritans were scum. The zealots were violent, and the zealots believed that their violence was justified because they were doing the work of God. They were extremists. And it's funny, one group that the zealots really didn't like were tax collectors. And so what does Jesus do? He calls a tax collector and a zealot and tells them, you guys need to be friends. You know that passage in Isaiah about how the lion will lay down with the lamb? I'm not saying that's what Jesus had in mind, but it certainly fits. Simon was a zealot, and he found the Messiah. And he followed the Messiah. But he still thought the Messiah was going to destroy every one of their enemies. Israel is the people of God. Israel is the greatest. Israel is the best. Everyone else must become an Israelite in order to worship God. You can't worship God if you're not an Israelite. You have to be circumcised if you're a man. You have to follow the Mosaic law. Death to anyone who doesn't want to do that. And then Jesus starts talking about loving your enemy. And he starts talking about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And Simon had to be thinking, what is wrong with Jesus? He's the Messiah. But Simon stayed with him because he couldn't deny that there was something going on with Jesus. And he said, maybe it's trickery, right? Maybe he's pretending to be one way so that he can, you know, get him, you know, sneak up on him. And then Jesus starts talking about how it's time to go to Jerusalem. And when I go to Jerusalem, I'll be delivered into the Roman authorities' hands, and they'll crucify me. Now, Simon had a problem. He actually had two problems. The first was, how is the Messiah who is supposed to free us from these filthy pagan Romans going to be given up into their hands? The second problem is, the law of Moses says that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed by God. How is he going to be crucified? If he's the Messiah, he's the anointed of God, not the cursed of God. But Simon stayed because there was something about Jesus that made him want to see where this was going. See, Simon had a fierce nationalism. Simon believed that his country and his people were better than everybody else. Simon believed that God had ordained him and the other zealots to protect their people and their country by any means necessary. And then Jesus sends out the 12. That's the context of this passage we read today. And in the sending out of the 12, Jesus tells the disciples, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Now Simon at first is thinking, that's right. He came to bring a sword. He did. We're thinking, isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? I mean, that doesn't make sense, right? So we're having our own conflict. But Simon is... He's like, yeah, finally, let's go kill some Romans, right? But then Jesus tells them where this sword is going to be given. He says, I will set father against son, mother against daughter. I will set family against family. Now, wait a minute. This time Simon's thinking, but we're Israel. We're all one family. You can't, how are you gonna, we're not, the Romans aren't our family. What is Jesus talking about? And then Jesus tells them the lesson that Simon the Zealot teaches us. Whoever puts anything before me is not worthy of following me. Why is that? Well, the simple answer for us is that Jesus is God, and to put anything before God is to commit idolatry, which is a sin. But the disciples didn't fully get that Jesus is God just yet. They had to have the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit for them to fully understand that Jesus is God. So, Simon's thinking to himself, Jesus comes before my family, my people, my country. To his credit, Simon stayed with Jesus until they all ran away, except for the women and John. Good job, John. And he was there in the upper room. But he didn't go to the tomb when the women came. Because he had already had his heart broken. His Messiah wasn't the Messiah he wanted the Messiah to be. But then, as God often does to us, in his grace, Jesus came to Simon and to the rest of the disciples who didn't make their way to the tomb. He said, hey guys, what's up? Check it out. Got my scars, look at these cool scars. It's like in the Lethal Weapon movies, which I've never watched because they're rated R. But in the Lethal Weapon movies, when they are comparing scars, remember? For those of you who have watched it, I've heard that's in there. But Jesus says, look, check out my scars, you know. And they say, oh, wow, it's Jesus, and he's resurrected, and wow, this is amazing. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and Pentecost comes, and there's this explosion of evangelism. And you know what Simon realizes? What John tells us in the book of Revelation, that around the throne of God, there is a chorus of people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation praising God. And suddenly Simon realizes he's not an Israelite. He's not a Jew. He's a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that takes precedence over everything. I don't know if y'all know this, but politics are a little divisive. And it's easy to think in our time that it's like, Lord have mercy, these people, they just, oh, all they do is fight and argue. You know, politicians have always been politicians. They used to have duels, you know, and kill each other. So at least, you know, now they're just saying nasty things about each other, right? If you ever want really good political argument. You should listen to what the people in Parliament in the UK say to each other. I don't know if it's just that they're better educated or what, or maybe it's just their accents, but they say some of the most brutal put-downs. And it's just, I mean, it's actually, not that I'm condoning putting people down, but it's beautiful actually to see just their command of language in the way that they mock each other. Politicians are politicians. And the reason that we don't talk about politics is because politics are part of our deeply held convictions. If you want to lose a friend, post your political opinion on Facebook. You can lose all kinds of friends overnight if you do that. I've told y'all, and I tell anybody, I don't preach politics from the pulpit. And I'll tell you why I don't preach politics from the pulpit. It's because of what Simon the Zealot teaches us. Jesus is not a Tennessean. Jesus is not an American. Jesus is not Canadian. He's not British. He's not Irish. He's Jewish technically, but he's not Jewish. He's not Israeli. He's not Iraqi. He's not Iranian. He's not Indian. He's not Pakistani, and so on and so forth. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and he doesn't care. If you love your country or you hate your country, he doesn't care. He cares if your loyalty is to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus cares about. You know, lots of people like to say that the church is, you know, the early church was socialist, and they'll say that Jesus was a socialist, or, you know, they'll pick him for whatever their political party is. Jesus is a Republican. Jesus is a Democrat. Jesus is independent. He's moderate. He's conservative. I've told y'all before, I'll impress you with some big words again. Jesus was a theocratic monarchist. He believed in a kingdom under God's law, ruled by him. In the history of the church, every time that the church gets into trouble is when the church trades its spiritual authority for political authority. Every single time. And in the history of the church, every time that the church grows is when the church doesn't care what they're doing in Washington, D.C., or in London, or in Nashville. But the church cares that the naked are clothed, the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, the ostracized are included, the sinful are forgiven. In this passage, Jesus sent the 12 out to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to preach the coming kingdom of the one true God. Brothers and sisters, I don't care who you vote for. I don't care if you think that the conservatives are a bunch of heartless greed mongers. I don't care if you think that the liberals are a bunch of spineless snowflakes. I don't care. I don't care if you think Donald Trump is the best president that ever lived, or if you wonder how in the world he ever got elected in the first place. I don't care. Because while I love the country that I live in, I know this: heaven and earth will pass away, but the kingdom of God is eternal. let's be brutally honest, all it takes is a couple of nuclear missiles and there is no United States of America. There aren't enough nuclear missiles in the world to annihilate the kingdom of God. Be encouraged. We're citizens of a heavenly city. We have treasure that cannot be taken from us. We have a king who will never fail us. Vote, don't vote. At the end of the day, God won't judge you for who you voted for. God will judge you for how well you built Christ's kingdom with his help on earth as it is in heaven. Bless you. And so, brothers and sisters, as we go forth into Holy Communion, let us remember why Simon the Zealot holds this, that's actually a saw, in his hand. Because Simon the Zealot believed Israel was Israel until Jesus Christ filled him with the Holy Spirit. And he went and he preached the word of God to all the nations. And tradition says they sawed him in two for his troubles. Please don't go looking for somebody to saw you in two. But remember, communion represents the sacrifice of Christ, which changed this man's life and caused him to see Israel doesn't matter. The kingdom of God matters. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare for Holy Communion, may you forgive us our sins. May you help us to follow Jesus. May we do the work of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law.
We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If I could have my helpers come forward.